Atlas Butler Plumbing Services. Keeping things flowing. Like water through your pipes and water down your drains.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And phone numbers through your brain. Call today.
What's going on, everybody? It's the Hockey Dudes Podcast. This is your boy Hayden back in the stew, cooking up another epi. It's been a while, I know. I've been a busy guy. I produced 4 shows today at the station, not a big deal. Still got some more coming up later tonight, so I'm just a working man, man. I'm just be out here working. I got so hungry in between shows today that I ate Maddie Andrews buns off Tim Hall's desk. He had some city barbecue left over and he just threw his buns on Tim's desk and was like, I don't want this. You want it, Hayden? And I was like, nah, I'll just throw it on Tim's desk. And he threw his buns on Tim's desk and I was like, Tim's not gonna want Maddie Andrews' day old buns. So I walked by a couple hours later and I was just like, I'll clean up these buns off Tim's desk for him. And I ate Maddie Andrews buns. So, yeah. Anyway, it's probably the highlight of my last day because it wasn't the Jackets last night. Watching that game, that was tough. Blue Jackets took a 3-0 lead. And then they obviously went on to blow that lead. But the first period, let me tell you, the first period might have been the Blue Jackets' best hockey we've seen them play on the road in Canada, because the other period that they played on the road in Canada was in Toronto and they didn't do that well. I mean, they were down early in that game. They fought back. Like, listen, I know people are sitting here like Blue Jackets have an issue blowing leads, and well, yeah, kind of every team does. You know, like if you get a lead in hockey, it can so quickly go the other way. It's not like having a lead in football where every time the other team scores, at the very least, you're getting the ball back and you have a chance to drive it down the field and take off minutes off the clock. It's not like that. In hockey, you can just keep getting bounces thrown at you. And if a team smells a little bit of blood in the water, they're going to come after you. And that is exactly what happened against the Kraken 2 nights prior when the Blue Jackets were up 4-1. They had a huge surge at the end of the second period. That was awesome. And then you kind of woke up the Kraken, if you will. I was sitting there and I was half awake. I was just sitting there like watching that game and I was like, oh shoot, dude, we just woke up the Kraken, dude. And that's what happened. The Kraken came back. They scored 4 goals. That game went into OT. And it was nice to win that one in OT. Jake Beener just sniping one. Top corns over Grubbs, so that was nice. And he had a nice celly afterwards, you know, right in Seattle fans' face, you know, get their Twitter account lady drinking the Pinot. You love to see that. And, you know, I had some buddies there. You know, my boy Bilo was out at the game, and he said the atmosphere was rocking. Isn't it true, though, with Seattle, like, you can just feel that when they do finally get a good team, there are going to be a serious number of people on that bandwagon. I mean, they do have a pretty uniform. When they skate fast, they look fast. Like, if they ever have, like, the kind of team that the Knights had where they're just flying out there, like, high-flying, like, Pac-12 offense, like, just scoring a bunch of points, not playing defense, which is kind of the game that they play already. They don't usually score more than a couple goals a night, and the other team's scoring a lot of goals. You can just feel that brand new building out there, and just with the way that Seattle just embraces its sports teams, that they are going to be just an absolute like wagon down the road. But I don't know. How about Jeff Rimmer on that broadcast, by the way, talking about Shaquille O'Neal? He was talking to Shaq, and they're talking about how he's going to be buying a NBA franchise and be the owner soon. So there you got that going as well. So Seattle's absolutely buzzing, even though we dominated them. I felt like, you know, we went in there, clapped them up, you know, made them, we teased them a little bit. We left them a little breadcrumb trail to try to get back into it. And then we just trapped them again with Jake Beener. So you love to see that. that was a good way to start the West Coast trip, man. That was actually very, very nice. You know, you just need to get 2 points on the road. You've been a team who has had the stigma of you can't really win on the road, and then you go out, you get that dub, and a full barn. I mean, Seattle had a full barn. It was a game that Seattle was trying to get revenge on because the Blue Jackets beat them earlier in the year in an emotional game, and overtime as well with that one. That one, you had Patrick Laine, but nonetheless, you able to start off on the road, and then last night you go up 3-0 in that game, and I had bet the Blue Jackets, and for a moment I just was like, okay, it's good. This bet's cash. Like it's literally 3-0. It's not about if the Blue Jackets are gonna win or not. It's about by how many. You know what I mean? Like, should I be looking at a live spread here? Like live -3.5. Like, ooh, do I think the Jackets can get one more and hold them down? But that is not how the game went at all. In fact, Vancouver came back with a lot of energy, a lot of fire, just a real belief that they were never out of the game at any point. And if you see the offense that they have, it makes sense, man. I mean, that's not an easy team to hold off. There's not a lot of teams in the National Hockey League, regardless of how good they are, that could hold that offense off when they have nothing to hold back and are just playing, trying to get goals, trying to play catch-up. And the Blue Jackets didn't help themselves by taking penalties in that game, man. So when Vancouver just got that first goal at the end of the second period, I think it was was a Bo Horvat who just sniped one over Elvis. And then it was in the beginning of the third period, Elias Pettersson just chipped one right over Elvis. Like, you know, and that was like off a crazy cross-crease pass. That's the thing. They scored... Was it 3 goals? Did they score 3 goals on cross-crease passes? Like, just total Chell goals that you really don't like. And if you don't know what Chell goals are, Chell goals are basically the only way that you could score goals in NHL. Or somebody who's not highly skilled at that game. NHL 20, of course, EA Sports. It's just, you get the puck on one side, you get a 2-on-1 going, and you snap it all the way over to the other side. The goalie can't get across the crease quick enough, and you just slap one in. That's exactly how you score all. That's how I score all my goals in Chell. I know guys like Nasher are just freaking just running Michigans all over. Speaking of Nasher and Michigan, we'll have sound from Trevor Zegras later on in the pod. But anyway, Vancouver was scoring on tremendously lucky plays. I mean, yes, highly skilled finishers on their guys. When you talk about Pettersson and, Brock Besser, like, they have highly skilled players. It's just, and Quinn Hughes, who was, you know, just dominating the top part of the neutral zone. It just seemed like the Blue Jackets couldn't get any break in that third period. They couldn't get the puck out of the zone, even on some of the penalty kills. They were trying to launch it out there, and it was just Vancouver, they just played with such poise and they were so calm throughout the whole game, and they just really did play like in 100% attack mode, and it burned the Blue Jackets. I mean, the Jackets can't survive that. They're too tired of a team. It's just a hard thing to do. They spent all their energy in that first period, frankly, getting those goals, and it's sad, but there was a point where I knew the Jackets were going to score another goal. I was like, the Jackets don't look like they're going to score another goal. At this point, it's just hold them to 3 goals and let's just get a point out of this thing, man, because it's not looking good. The ice was completely tilted the other way. And, of course, Vancouver got that last one, and the Jackets had to empty the net. They got a power play when Texier got tripped up, and I kind of thought, okay, Vancouver has the worst power play in the league. Maybe the Jackets will get a goal here. And they had a couple good chances. You know, anytime the puck's on Voracek's stick, he definitely knows how to snap it around. And I thought he's going to find the most open guy, and they're just going to slam this one, like, right past the tendy, and it's going to be so awesome, so relieving. That didn't happen at all. Now the Blue Jackets are, frankly, down bad. Down bad. Because the teams around you, teams that you were kind of feeding off of, as far as like the Jackets were staying alive because some of these teams weren't performing. You know, Pittsburgh wasn't performing very well early on in the year. Philadelphia wasn't performing well early on in the year. Well, those teams have woken up. I mean, Pittsburgh's playing very good the last few weeks here. Philadelphia, who just fired Alain Vigneault, is just They've won like three games in a row. Freaking Cam Atkinson had a hat trick and an apple last night. I'm playing him in fantasy, and that was tough. That was tough to watch. So the Flyers are back, and if I can be completely honest, things are not trending the right way if you're the Jackets. And that's why when you're talking about tomorrow night when you play the Edmonton Oilers, it is a mighty important game. It's going to be the last game of your Western Canada trip because the game against the Flames have gotten canceled. Flames are just, you know, no pun intended, they're engulfed with COVID. The organization's on fire right now with the way that they're just ripping out these positive COVID tests. So I don't know what's going on with them. I guess if there's one goal the Jackets have right now, it's just to get out of Canada without COVID. Because the last thing that you want to do is get a guy that has a positive test out there and an outbreak that happens out there. And then all of a sudden you have to stay in Canada for the 2 weeks. That would be brutal. Over the holidays, you would hate to see that. So don't get me wrong. I want the Jackets to just come home. I'd be happier if they just came home and we didn't have to cancel any of these home games that are coming up that people are planning on going to in Columbus. So that's the first things first. But also, I think the Jackets, they need a win tomorrow night. I mean, Edmonton is a team that's also trending the wrong way. They're a team with high-end talent. Obviously, they have the best player in the league in Connor McDavid. So if you're able to get a win against them on the road, you're going to instantly feel like you accomplished something. And it'd be a great way to end a Western Canada trip. I mean, I consider Seattle part of Canada, even though they don't play like it and they don't deserve to be considered part of Canada. It is a great town. Seattle is a great town. They have not earned Canada yet. But when you're talking about the West Coast trip, for the Jackets to have gotten 4 out of 6 possible points, I mean, that's a dub. That's a huge successful road trip. Even if they can somehow manage to get a point tomorrow night and go 3 for the 6, I'd be feeling pretty good. But yes, Edmonton is a team. They're also dealing with some injuries. They are a team that's trending in the wrong direction. They just got absolutely clapped by Toronto last night. They had fans throwing the jersey on the ice. That's never good. I'm not gonna lie. If you're the Jackets, that's a little scary. You never want to be the team that plays the Canadian team after they just threw the jersey on the ice. That's absolutely, and you know, that actually goes back to the Canucks game. The Jackets are running into the Canucks at the wrong time, man. Since the Canucks have hired Bruce Boudreau, who hadn't been coaching since his time with the Wild, they've gone undefeated. They haven't lost a game. I think they were like 4-game win streak, 5-game win streak, and they're chanting that Bruce, there it is, chant. And honestly, super cringeworthy. That was the biggest L that the Jackets took last night, was letting the Canucks fans chant that just horrible. Like the Vancouver Canucks will never win a Stanley Cup with Bruce Boudreau because of that chant. They just simply cannot. Like, it's, there's no way. That's just so corny, so cheesy. They've probably peaked as a team, if we're being completely honest, because if there's one team that absolutely knows how to disappoint people, it's the Vancouver Canucks. So they will continue to disappoint the city of Vancouver. I believe that. I just don't know when. They have a lot of great players. Somehow they just won't be able to put it together. I just know that. I just have that feeling. But anyway, Jackets are playing a team in Edmonton who is going to be rallied behind the fact that a fan just threw the jersey on the ice. So pray for the Jackets. Going to need all the luck that you can get. Probably keep it simple. I'll probably just bet the over tomorrow night. I mean, I got Connor McDavid on my fantasy team, so anytime that he scores a goal, I'm never going to be mad. I assume he's going to get one. The Jackets, this is the Jackets team that I expected. This is a Jackets team that can score a lot of goals, but they also aren't as technically sound on defense, so they give up a lot of goals. I said it at the beginning of the year, it's going to be a lot of overs, and last night was a great example of an over. It was 7 goals, so over 5.5. That's going to keep happening. So I'm going to keep it simple. I'm going to bet the over tomorrow night, and we're going to see where that goes. All right. Got to take a little break here, and when I come back, we'll play some of this Trevor Zegras sound about him reacting to Torts, because Torts had some comments on Zegras' goal to Milano, the little flip over the net that they did in Buffalo. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the Olympics and what Connor McDavid had to say. So I'll do that on the other side of the break.
And you deserve a score. You're trying to produce. And just as an offensive guy, to get something like that, all of a sudden it carries over in the next game. And anytime you touch the puck, it's like the same sort of thing when the analogy when people talk about the power play. If you don't score on a power play, it's not the end of the world because you have the puck most of the time, I like to think, on a 5-on-4. But in the zone, like when as an offensive guy that likes to have the puck, just like making plays, seeing things, all of a sudden you get out there, you get your confidence back after a tough first period, you get out there for a power play, you're feeling it, make a nice little pass, whatever it is, create a scoring chance, get a shot yourself. That carries over to 5-on-5. So this game is built on that. And when you have confidence, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're Sidney Crosby or if you're Joe Schmo, like, those guys, everyone needs confidence, you know what I mean? And it comes and comes and goes pretty quickly. So when you have a chance to get it, whether it's an empty net or a power play, whatever it might be, you take that and you run. Because once you get hot, you do everything you can to keep that. But there is going to be times where it's the opposite. It doesn't want to go in. So when you're feeling it and feeling good about your game, that's when you got to capitalize on it. You want to try and be as consistent as possible, but it's not always easy to do that.
That was Max Domi. He was on the Inside Edge tonight. You can find that if you missed the pre-recorded version, just look up the CBJ Radio on SoundCloud or just, I guess, anywhere you get your podcast, really. I mean, shoot, you'd think I'd know. I'm the guy that produces the freaking thing for the radio, but yeah, no, that actually was Max Domi answering a question about the late goal he scored in Toronto. Obviously, it was a goal that, huge goal for people who bet the Leafs puck line -1.5. They probably hate Max Domi now, and that's sad because he's the son of Ty Domi, who's a Leafs legend. And he scored that last second goal that it was a buzzer beater to make it 5-4 instead of 5-3, and it didn't really mean anything. But Jody was just kind of asking him, you know, what does that do for your confidence? And, you know, he's been playing really, really good this year, man. He's kind of picked it up offensively. He's been a huge star for us. He's a guy that you can rely on to get at least a point every single night, really, is what he's doing. He's proven that he can do that, and that's a huge step up from what he was last year. And I think he admits on the podcast on Inside Edge, like, you know, I was kind of trash last year, and Jody and Bob Mikkel, you're like, no, you weren't trash last year. And he's like, it's okay. I know you guys aren't going to say it, but that's definitely, like, I think I was trash last year. And yeah, I think he was a little disappointing as far as his offensive production, but his career had kind of been trending that way anyway. So it's not like, I think a lot of people like had high expectations of him coming in and being anything more than, you know, what he was last year. He's been great this year, is my point, and all I really want to say. And I'm really excited to have him on this team. And, you know, he scored last night for the Jackets, and you love to see that. All right, anyway, so I had some sound from Trevor Zegras. He was on Nasher's little podcast, Andrew Taffler. He's the guy that, you know, makes all the NHL videos and the really dope videos out at the rink at Westerville. He gets, like, his GoPro on his helmet, and, you know, he's that guy, but he makes some sick moves on the, like, he's got some silky mitts. But anyway, and, you know, he's very successful in the industry, and now he's working with Bleacher Report. So he actually did an interview with Trevor Zegras, just talking about Torts and what Torts had to say about Trevor Zegras' goal. If you don't know, John Tortorella, who's on ESPN on their talk show, was like, you know, I don't quite know if it's the best thing for our game right now. You know, it used to be an honest game. It used to be a hard game, and now just it's too much showman. There's too much showman. And then they were like, would you have talked to the player afterwards? He's like, yeah, I probably would have stepped him aside and said something to him, which is just an insane take. The guy scored a goal. Anyway, here's Trevor Zegras' thoughts on Torts' comments.
John Tortorella, his comments on you, I'm sure you saw them. What are your thoughts on what he had to say?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was definitely a little out of the ordinary. Because weird, I always liked Torts, man. Like, growing up, I was a big Ranger fan. Obviously, he coached the Rangers. So I was always a big Tortorella fan. I love kind of that he was a little bit outspoken and had his own opinion. And Sonny played for him for 5 years, and Sonny had nothing but great things to say about him. So I guess for him to kind of take that goal. I don't know if he took it personal or whatnot, but it was definitely a little out of the ordinary for sure. And I guess, like you said, I don't know, changing the game, man. Like, I saw so many awesome videos of little kids trying it, or I guess whether it was college kids or whatnot. So, I mean, to me personally, I took a lot of pride in, I guess, maybe trying to inspire somebody to pick up a hockey stick. But I guess if he wanted to take it as it was bad for the game, I guess that's just his opinion.
And, I mean, yeah, that's a guy that's a fan of Torts. You know, I think people look at Torts as like this hockey, like, hardo legend who's, like, kind of been through it all and kind of everybody respects in the league, and he can pull any team out of being crappy to being good. And just kind of just a very old man take for him to sit there and be like he doesn't think it's good for the game. Here's the thing, man. Torts just, he doesn't like goals. He doesn't like offense in hockey. I don't know any other way to explain it. He's a very defensive-minded guy. He's had crazy takes already since he's been on the desk at ESPN. I think he said earlier on in the year he thinks Connor McDavid needs to play more defense. Connor McDavid had like 40 points in 15 games. Like, he does not need to play any more defense. He's lighting the lamp on the other side. Like, good defense is just scoring more goals than the other team. That's how you win games. So it's just insane to think that Torts was somehow didn't like the fact that, you know, Zegras was able to make that play. And let's just talk more about the play in general, man. I mean, it was highly impressive, highly skilled to be able to get the puck on your stick like that and then lift it up over the net. And then for Sonny to have the hand-eye coordination to baseball it in was just amazing, man. And it was a play that you had kids trying the next day all over the world. People were trying to do that same move because it was so awesome. The alley-oop, if you will. A lot of people are calling it the Zegras. I kind of prefer that, honestly. I just, like, it's the Zegras. You know, everybody knows what that is. And everybody knows who Trevor Zegras is now because of it. So, you know, obviously Torts' comments are what they are. But, you know, it is true that I think it's going to attract people to the sport of hockey, that play. I think it is really impressive. I think it can impress somebody who doesn't even understand the sport of hockey. And I had that impression. And with hockey now being on ESPN, that broadcast being on ESPN Plus, John Buccigross was calling that game. It did great for the sport of hockey. And I'm buzzing now because of it, to say the least. I'm just buzzing. I'm just like, let's go. Like, this is awesome. And then finally, I want to do some final thoughts on Connor McDavid, because the Blue Jackets are playing Connor McDavid tomorrow night, and he had some comments about the Olympics in 2022. Now, it is coming out that if anybody does test positive for COVID in China, they're going to have to stay in China for 4 to 5 weeks. 4 to 5 week quarantine in China. A month and a half. That's brutal. That's tough. And now it's got guys questioning on whether they even want to consider going and playing for their country. And that's such a hard place to put these athletes in, because we know how much playing for their country means for them. A chance to be an Olympian means more than really a lot of other things in the sport of hockey. It means just as much as winning a gold medal for your country to some guys would mean just as much as winning a Stanley Cup. So for Connor McDavid to sit here and be seriously considering it, now let me get his exact quotes here. He said it was unsettling. I don't have time to read his exact quotes, but the point is him and other athletes are seriously considering what they're going to do. I know there's one guy that's adamant about going no matter what, and that's Alex Ovechkin. That guy, he loves to play for Russia. He loves to play for Russia. In fact, like, people were talking about him ever playing for a different team in the NHL. I think he needs to wear the blue, the white, and the red. He needs to wear Russian colors. Like, he loves Russia. I think he'd be the president of Russia if he could one day. That man loves his country, and rightfully so. You're allowed to love your country. I didn't call it the red, white, and blue, by the way, because that's us. We're the red, white, and blue. Team USA. Speaking of which, the World Juniors are coming up. So let's go Stars and Stripes. Let's go win another one. Let's go win another one right in Canada's face up there in Edmonton. That'll be pretty fun. I'm looking forward to that. And outside of that, I guess just, tell your dog. And love you guys. Let's go Coats tomorrow night. Let's beat up on the Oils. And, tell your dog. And bet the over. Bet the over. And tell your dog. Well, I'm running down the road trying to loosen my load. I got 7 women. The sound of your own wheels drive you crazy. Lighten up while you still can. Don't even try to understand. Just find a place to make your stand and take it easy.
You can rely on Atlas Butler for all of your plumbing and drain service needs. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. One call truly does it all. Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.